Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of Way of Truth Ministries, and delighted you have taken the time to share with us in the Word of God. We're going to take off again on the same theme, serving God from our hearts, and our text will be 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 to launch with. We've used several others in the days past, but you'll follow along on that. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'll have a few comments to make. Then we'll have a song and get right into the Word of God. So join us in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege it's ours to broadcast the gospel of Christ. We know it's not because of anything of us, but it's because of the Word of God. Lord, you've given us that Word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And so, Lord, we have no other message to bring than that of Jesus Christ, our King. And, Lord, I pray that today somebody might come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. I pray for every child of God. This may be a day of encouragement. Maybe there's some going through bereavement right now, Lord. Would you be the comfort, the guide, the help over these hours and days? And I pray, our Father, that you'll be with those who are enjoying the mountaintop. Things have gone well for them. They're being blessed. And I just pray that you would encourage them and help them to be praying for their brothers and sisters who are less fortunate. We think of those who are being persecuted around the world. Lord, would you minister to them in such an unusual way that they would sense the Lord is with me. Now, Lord, I pray you'll guide and direct in every aspect of the message and the songs and this time of fellowship together around thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have ministries in West Africa, five different countries there, and over in India, and then here in the U.S. Now, what I'd like to share with you is in Liberia, one of our missionaries is now directing a radio ministry out of one section, Fiema, of Monrovia, the capital city, and reaching about 500,000 people, a potential audience. And just the other day, somebody broke into their radio station, and they even had security guards there, so it was a question, did the security guards know it and all that kind of thing, but broke into the radio station, stole over $1,800 worth of equipment, all the equipment they use, their flat-screen TV, their monitors, their sound boards, and just everything to do the broadcast. They now cannot be on the air because they don't have the equipment. And I'd ask you to pray about this. It's going to cost, they estimated at $1,800. Knowing the cost of replacing, I would think the cost might go a little bit closer to $2,500 to replace all that equipment that was taken. Would you pray for that? That's a radio station. It's Liberty Radio 81.1. Now, you can't get it here in America. That's the FM numbers over in Monrovia, Liberia. But would you pray that God would raise that up again? It's the one conservative, fundamental Bible broadcasting station, or radio station. There are others there that are rather compromising and so forth. But this program has been going well. They've gotten a lot of response from listeners. They feature good quality music and the messages. And they use these messages as well as a number of others, and some of them are live. But it's a great testimony for Christ there in Monrovia. So pray for Brother Don Demme and the folk at Liberty Radio that God would provide so they could get equipment in and then figure a quality way to secure the things, because theft is a normal way of life in that country, as well as many of those countries. So I trust you'll pray about that. We're going to have a song, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God.
There is a haven for every weary traveler. When the storm breaks, the stillness of the night, there is a safe place for all the lost and lonely. shelter until the morning light. There is a haven for the weary soul to run to. When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame, there is a Savior and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
There is a haven of comfort for God's children. You can find it when you speak His name in prayer. He'll give you rest there from all your care and labor.
There's a haven, and the Lord will meet you there.
There is a haven
for the weary soul to run to.
When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame,
there is a Savior and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name. Run to.
When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame,
there is a Savior and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
What a blessed song. That's one of my favorite. And I love to hear that song and rejoice in it, because He, Christ, is the only haven that we can come to, that we can have the comfort, the strength, the encouragement in the storms of life. So I hope that was a blessing to your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. We've been talking about serving the Lord from our hearts. And that is exactly how God expects you and I to serve Him. Now, we're going to start looking at some other scriptures. We've done a number of scriptures regarding this. But I want you to look with me at verse 14. We'll read some verses around that as well. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is a great chapter. We know in verse 10 it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in our body according to that we have done, whether they be good or bad. And he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now, we talked about that in the last broadcast. I'll not go back over that, except to say this. I am to serve God acceptably from my heart, and then as I do that which I do, you know that the Lord said that they see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what Paul is saying right here. We are standing before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and we're going to receive those things done in our body according to that we have done. That is the attitude that we have. And so when we're talking about serving the Lord from our heart, we're talking about an attitude situation, an attitude adjustment, if you please. You've heard people say, well, you need an attitude adjustment. Well, that's exactly what we need for the Lord. We need to have an attitude adjustment that we're not doing this that people look at us and say, oh, isn't Elwood Fondler just the greatest guy in the world? Now, you know better than that. But anyway, we're not saying that. We're saying that the people will look and say, you know what? He has a wonderful Savior. He has, we surely know that there's something real in his life. And there's so many people that I've met over the years, and there was just no question. You could tell the great love they have for the Lord. You know, it was just my privilege and my grandson's to be over in Africa, as I mentioned the other week on the program. We were over in West Africa, covered three countries in 3 weeks, and that kept us moving. But there was a dear man there that I met. I asked if he'd be around. I wasn't sure. I know he hadn't been feeling well. And they said, yes, he'll be there. And we were working with his son up in the northern part of the region where we have ministries. And so we get down to where he was at in Akwansi, and I got to see him. And what a reunion. I mean, just to go, we come to his house, and he's there. And he was there, he's kind of just, I think he was just up and just trying to move so he, wouldn't get all stiffened up and everything. And he's really having some physical problems. He saw me, the big smile came on his face. And I got out of the car, went up there on the porch, and we had a hugging time there. He said, my friend, my friend, my friend. You know what? Those kind of things you can't replace with anything else except friendship. One who knows the Lord. And I remember, and I made mention in the service, that how many years ago, over 25 years ago, he and another dear gentleman by the name of Jesse, who is with the Lord, the pastor and brother Phil Kissinger, who traveled with me for many years, we would go through the village witnessing to people in the village about the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to tell you something. Is anybody too hard for the Lord to reach? You just be consistent. This man, Jesse, was a deacon in the church, just a faithful man. He was consumed with talking to the people in the village. Now, we're talking about 12,000 people in this village, and he was consumed with trying to reach him for Christ. And there was one person that he really zeroed in on, although he had led others to the Lord. There was a witch doctor, a female witch doctor, that he would talk to, and she would, in fact, when we got there and walked around, he said, I want you to meet her. And we got to her hut, her place where she lived, and here she was in her, like her work clothes. She said, just a minute. She went in and dressed up in what would be just normal, good dress clothes, and come out, and we talked a little bit. But this man, Jesse, led her to Jesus Christ. Now, how about that? A witch doctor, and we were there when she was making her potion when we walked up at her house. But she greeted us very friendly, and then she had, of course, had her service, and she was a genuine witch doctor. But she's very, very nice, very pleasant. You wouldn't know a witch doctor unless they're in their regalia. You wouldn't know them in just a community. But here was a man that had just such consistency about him that he had the opportunity. She saw something different in his life. And she had said one day, she said, there's just something about that Bible when you talk about it, it bothers me. Hallelujah. That was the Holy Spirit working on her heart. Well, you see, that is exactly what people need to see. They need to see something different about us. They may not know what it is, but they know there's something different. You know, just the other day at our truck stop, I was there and I was handing out material and inviting to come to our chapel. Came up to a man and he didn't have time. He said, he had to make a trip. But he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I don't go to chapels or church. He said, I just don't go. He said, a number of reasons. But he said, I want to tell you something. I am so thankful you are here. He said, there's a whole lot of people. Now, he was one of them, I have to admit, that needed what we had. But he said, you know what? There's a whole lot of people out here that really need to hear what you men are teaching. He said, thank you for being here. Now, think about that. A man who wouldn't go into church, doesn't go to a church at his home. I mean, he's on the road most of the time, so he's not home much. But, beloved, they see the consistency, the faithfulness. And that's what Paul is talking about to these folk. Now, let's read on now. Verse 12. He says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Now here's our text. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We don't see him walking around in physical body. But what Paul is relating to is the fact that here it is. The love of Christ constrains us. People see that, and it causes them to at least think about their spiritual needs. It leads them to think about what the Bible's really teaching. You see, the Bible, we are told, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And so they need to see something different in our lives. And so Paul is setting the stage here, and we'll go into a little bit further here down through these verses, because we're going to come up on verse 17 that we've used so many times, and we've even used in this series. But we're going to come down to that, and we're going to see that it's God that makes the difference in our lives, and as a result, we ought to make a difference in somebody else's life by carrying the message of Christ. I can't change your life. You can't change mine. We can be an influence for that, but it is the Lord, and it's the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that works that change and effectiveness in one's life. Well, let's listen to a song to refresh our minds and get right back into this text.
Someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. And hitherto my Lord hath led. Each step I tread, and soon in heaven it will be said, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. Saints and angels, as I lay my burdens down, Jesus led me all.
then Jesus led me all the way. That is going to be the testimony we're going to want to have when we stand before the Lord. Now go with me. We're at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says, in this serving the Lord from our heart, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That is, that word constraint really means to lay hold or to press in spirit. In other words, there's a pressure on me that I can't get out of it. I can't get away from it. I don't want to. But what I'm saying is there is that pressure. It's what prompted Paul in Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10 when he said that he could wish himself accursed for the nation of Israel. When Moses would say, Lord, if you can't forgive them of their sin, blot my name out of your book and put theirs in. Now, that's the kind of pressure he's saying. The love of Christ constrains us. Why? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. He died for me. If there's no other reason why I ought to serve him from my heart, it's because he died for me and paid the price for my sin. My friend, God is looking for people who will, not out of obligation, out of love. That's what he's talking about. The love of Christ. I love Christ. And that's why Paul would be prompted to say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. And, then he goes on, you know, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, and so on and so forth. Now, what he's saying is, I want to know him intimately. I want to know everything I can know about him. I want that so I can serve him. You know, there's a song somebody wrote, and it fits this right here. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given yourself for me. Well, you know, beloved, that is exactly what Paul is saying. Now, he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Paul says the love of Christ will take away this idea that I'm somebody great. That I'm somebody that, you know, that you need to really look up to. My life, see, that goes back here to the earlier part that we just talked about, and we'll not go back and go over that any further. But it is the fact that people look at my life, and I don't have to generate this thing out of me. They look at my life, and they say, there's something different about that man. I remember when I got saved. That's many years ago now, dear friends. That was back in 1961. I was a printer, and I was in a print shop. And in that print shop, I mean, I won't go into what we, you know, we surely weren't righteous. I say it that way. Well, I got saved, and they saw such a difference in my life. And I didn't try to generate anything. I just did what I felt it was right. I carried my New Testament that I've been given in the military. I carried that, and I would read it, and I read it. I don't know how many times I read that through, because once I got my printing press up and running, all I had to do is occasionally look at the press and make sure that the ink was still in the reservoirs and so forth. And once that was done, it was going to run its own, and so you'd run it till you got your total number of images done at that point and at juncture. So I wasn't depriving anything from the work, but guys would look, and they I remember one of the things they said, hey, look, Elwood's got religion. Well, I didn't know how to tell him no. I just got a brand new life, for the Lord had forgiven me of all my sin. All right, he has forgiven us of our sin, that we should henceforth no more live unto ourselves. It got to be the place where I wanted to tell people about the Lord. And when I came back from college, it was in my second year in college, I'm not sure. I came back and asked at front office if I could go back and talk to the guys in the print shop. And, of course, everybody knew me. And, sure, go ahead, go back there, and you can talk to them. So I went back in there, and I started talking to them a little bit and talking to them about the Lord Jesus. You know, those guys stood and listened. They watched their presses. They stood and listened because they had seen a difference in my life from when I was there in the shop before I was saved, and now as I had been saved. Well, he said, the love of Christ constrains us. I went and talked to them about the Lord. Boss came then and ushered me out. And not anything bad. He just didn't want the gospel given. He was a Jew. So I talked to him. I said, Mr. Schwartz, I said, I'd like to talk to you about your soul. I said, do you really know the Lord? I don't want to talk about that right now. Not now. I'm working. Well, he could have easily stood down and talked for an hour and wouldn't have bothered anything. But simply put, he did not receive the Lord. But it was the fact that I wanted to go back there and talk to these men, because now I knew a little bit more how to tell them that Jesus Christ had changed me. Well, he says in verse 16, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, it doesn't mean you didn't know Christ. What he's saying is we know of him walking and talking and doing the miracles and all those things right here. We don't know him that way now. You and I don't know him that way now. We never saw him there. But we know from the Word of God the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know about his salvation that he has given us, and therefore we know him in a much more intimate way. You see, when he was on the earth, only where he was could people see him. Now, by the eye of faith, you know what? I've had the privilege of being in many countries in this world, and every place I've been, people call upon the Lord, people know the Lord, and they can see him as he is right now, at the Father's right hand. They don't see him physically there. They know he's there. They see him in the pages of the Word of God. Just as when Jesus was here, he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Some of them said, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Well, the point is, Paul says, by the eye of faith. And this is how we should serve Christ. And realizing he is here, and it's my job, it's my responsibility to make him known to others. If we can be of spiritual help to you, dear friend, please contact us. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, I beg of you, call upon him today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we can be of spiritual help to you, you might contact us by email at wot@wotbm.org. Or you can send a hard copy of a request or a letter for spiritual help to Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. Father, speak to hearts. If any would have a burden for this Liberty Radio station there in Liberia, may they send to this address, and Lord, we'll make sure it gets funneled there immediately, every penny. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.